Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in Wednesdays, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Jaguars Today on the air live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I don't know if Tyler's trying to signify they may need a Hail Mary. Would you take that right now? Would you take 3 seconds left on the clock, ball on the, I don't want to say 45 because they'll kick, right? Down by four.
Right.
Look, down by four.
I gave the scenario to Jeff yesterday, didn't I? It was the last question I asked him. Jaguars get the ball down 27-23 with 90 seconds left and one timeout. How are you feeling?
Oh,
great.
Phenomenal. Right, but I'm talking about now 3 seconds left. If I could give you 3 seconds left, down four at the 45-yard line of the Patriots. I'd put it all on one play.
I'd rather have 30, but
I'd rather have 40 seconds on my own 20.
Right.
Right? So you can have a little bit of control over where you set yourselves up. But is there actually an advantage for the Jaguars? Now, the Jags are not a better team than the Patriots.
No.
That doesn't mean they can't beat them, Tony.
It doesn't mean
you can't win. But let's be honest. The Patriots, if they play the Jags 100 times, they'd win the vast majority of them. They're the better team. They're the Super Bowl champs. They're where the Jags are trying to get to and everybody else in the league. There are a few teams that are up in that stratosphere.
Sure.
And certainly, they're not the same team from last year, and that's where maybe the advantage starts to come in. Darrell Revis gone. Brandon Browner's gone. Vince Wilfork's gone, Tony. That defense isn't the same unit that it was. And granted, after Buffalo got out to an early lead, I think it was it 40-13 at one point before Buffalo came back and made it a 40-32 game. Regardless, the Patriots still gave up 32 points. They gave up 350 passing yards to Ben Roethlisberger, who's playing without Martavis Bryant and Le'Veon Bell on opening night, right? And you saw D'Angelo Williams run for a buck 27 against them. I think you're right. I think the Jags can get things done in both aspects of the offense. And I think they're going to have to, Tony, because the idea that they can go up there and just run the ball and play keep away from Tom Brady, eventually he's going to get it. Your drive will end. Either you score, you kick a field goal, you score a touchdown, you punt it away, turnover, something happens. They're going to get it back. They're going to get some points in this football game. I think the Jags should come out and just play as loose as they did against the Miami Dolphins. Well, I'm not saying be reckless, but take some shots.
It's not about playing keep away. It's about controlling the tempo of the game with what you're going to do on offense and putting points up. It's not just about being able to run the ball and keep the ball for 5 or 6 minutes at a time. It's being able to run the ball, keep the ball for 5 or 6 minutes and put up seven. That's what this game has to be about offensively for this Jaguars team, and I think there's going to be opportunities to do that. You mentioned D'Angelo Williams. He rushed for 127 against them. He had a big week against San Francisco this week where he scored 3 touchdowns, but only rushed for 77 yards, so he didn't have statistically as good a season when you look at the New England Patriots' rush defense to this point this year. Technically, they're 28th in the league as far as yards given up. They're giving up 5.7. 5.7 yards an attempt. That's by far the worst in the National Football League to this point in the season. Now, their pass defense is a little bit below just kind of mid-level in the NFL this year. They're like 22nd, 23rd, something like that against the pass. But 5.7 yards a rush through two games is terrible. That defensive line can be had.
Granted, that is terrible. That's a bad mark. But we understand as well, when you're up big and you're playing the other team to pass. They can break off some long runs, and you kind of say, all right, so you picked up 8 yards on that one.
But
you know
what I mean? Look, I was watching the Buffalo-New England game early. Buffalo was gashing them in the first quarter.
Were they okay?
Yeah, I mean, they gashed them throughout the game whenever they wanted to run the ball. The problem was Buffalo couldn't stay in the game enough offensively to allow them to use that to their advantage. You have to be able to run the ball and get points at the end of those drives early on in the game to keep that as a viable option for you in the game.
This is a big week for Bernard Pierce, I think, right? I mean, he's got to play a much more significant role. I haven't heard anything about Toby Gerhart at this point, but until I hear something that indicates to me that he's going to play, I'm going to assume that he's not going to play. Abdominal injuries are funny, you know. Does he have a hernia? Can it turn into one? You know, those are interesting, kind of tricky injury. So I don't know what his status is going to be. We know Denard's week to week, so he's going to be out. So I think Bernard Pearson, I don't think you're going to have T.J. Yeldon just take it 25 times and have practically no one else run the ball. So I think Bernard Pearson, you could see him get 10 to 12 carries in this football game if things are going well for the Jags. Still see Yeldon around 20, Tony. But you know what? Allen Robinson's got to show up big again. And Allen Hurns has got to show up big. And Marquise Lee has got to show up big because now, as we find out yesterday, Rashad Green goes on IR, designated to return, having thumb surgery. And, boy, the Jags' depth is being tested here in the early season. But the good timing is that you got Lee back last week. He was able to get his feet wet, 25 plays, I think, with the Times Union had him charted at. Gus Bradley mentioned 22 yesterday. I'm sure, you know, it's somewhere in that range exactly. But, you know, he's going to take on a more expanded role this week. You got to count on Marquise Lee playing a lot of snaps and coming through for you and staying healthy and upright throughout the game. Of course, that means Brian Walters is back on the roster as well. Expect him to be active for the Jags. And now what, Tony? Is it Nick Marshall as your primary punt returner? Is that what you think it is?
Could be Marshall with Brian Walters being back. He did that in Seattle,
He could
too.
Be the shorthanded guy,
yeah.
Right?
So it's got to be one of those guys, though, you would think.
You would think so. And that was one area we saw a little bit of flash out of Rashad Green here in the early part of the season. And all it takes sometimes is one or two of those big plays on special teams to make an impact. So today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Tell us, in your opinion, what is the biggest advantage and disadvantage the Jags have as they take on the Patriots this weekend? If you don't think they have any advantages, say so. If you don't think they have any disadvantages, say so. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. And of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business as well. Phone lines will be open to you momentarily at 641-1010. Likewise, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at that same number, 641-1010. Coming up in about 25 minutes, John Osier is going to stop by. A little Oh No's segment. We'll get the latest from the senior writer from Jaguars.com. A Bold City Cap's going to stop by this morning in studio for the first time. We've had him on the show before, but he's venturing in. Should we let him sit in the Doom seat? What do you think?
Why not?
All right. As long as Doom approves. I know he's listening out there. He's been tweeting at me voraciously for the last few minutes. But regardless, we're going to get a full update. Now that it's all said and done, what exactly does the Tampa takeover entail? As I believe about 2,000 tickets sold and a 1,200-person tailgate planned for Jaguar fans down in the Tampa Bay area as we get ready in Week 5 to take on the Buccaneers here and hopefully have a 3-1 team taking on the Bucs. How about that? At least this, Tony. I can see that. Let's say they lose to the Patriots. I think the Colts are very beatable.
Yep.
I think the Bucs are clearly beatable. I think Houston's clearly beatable, right? I think the Jags have a really good chance to be 500 at worst 6 games into the season. We'll see. That's a long way to go. We got to get this one this Sunday and see how they do. All right, there you go. All the ways you can get on the program today if you'd like to. Coming back, we'll hear a little bit from Gus Brad. We also hear from the other head coach, Bill Belichick. He's an excitable kind of guy. And we'll bring it all to you here on a Wednesday, brought to you by Metro Rooter. Jaguars Today, live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Is this a Dropkick Murphys?
Yes.
Why are we playing some Boston bass? Aren't they like out of Boston?
They are.
Why
we're
are we playing
up
this
to Boston
garbage? Yeah, well, we're gonna whip that ass. Let's play some Skinner around here.
They played the these guys played actually in the pregame during that whole Super Bowl ceremony a couple weeks ago on Thursday night.
What are we doing here? We're celebrating diversity. There we go.
Enough
of that garbage. Dropkick Murphys. Clean your palate. Cleanse it. Right here. Tony, how many steps do you want me to give you?
Not one, not two.
Four?
Feeling like,
you want four?
Feeling like three.
That's enough. That's enough for anybody, right? If you can't outrun them after a three-step head start, you shouldn't have been messing around with the guy's lady. That's what I'm saying, all right? Oh, my gosh. If you thought this Monday was good, dare to dream what next week could be like.
Heck yeah, man.
Unbelievable. All right, we've got here's one in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. I can't help it. Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar sponsors the text line. I've got to say Boston. I have to in this regard. We do like those guys, though. We have 5 games says the texter. We have five games against 2014 playoff teams this year. Panthers, Patriots, Ravens, and Colts twice. If we split with the Colts and lose the other games, we could drop two other games and still finish 10-6. Not saying this will happen, obviously. It would be a tall order for this team, just saying that the games against 2014 playoff teams won't make or break the season. Obviously so, right? They've already lost one, but so be it. Go out and shake up the world.
Sure.
The most important ones are the Colts games, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they got an opportunity next week after this game against New England to really put themselves solidly into contention for the AFC South coming out of the first month of the year. It's, you go up and beat the Colts, that's the big one. Like, the game against New England is an opportunity for you to figure out where you stand, exactly where you are. You got a lot of guys that aren't going to be even available to you this week. Maybe some of those guys are coming back the next week when you get to go up to Indianapolis. Who knows what the injury report's going to look like there. We all know how good the New England Patriots are. Doesn't mean that they don't have a chance to win this game. This is the National Football League, and in this building, I guarantee you, they believe that they are going to put a plan in place that's going to give them a chance to win this game against New England on Sunday, and they should. You know, you don't go into any week saying, nope, can't win this one. Like, it's just not the mentality in the NFL.
No.
You match up, you try to take advantage of what you can take advantage of, and I think there are areas where Jacksonville matches up fine and even well with the New England Patriots. It's that they're so explosive on offense, if they can find some way to keep Brady out of a rhythm for a half, even just for a half, and can be effective on offense, where does that leave him in this football game on Sunday? I think it leaves him in a good spot.
Let me ask you, Tony, to rank, if you would. This is a little out of left field for you, but this is right in your wheelhouse. Rank for me the top five most exciting Jacksonville Jaguars currently on the roster. Exciting. Guys that you enjoy watching play.
Top five exciting Jacksonville
Jaguars.
Don't have
Jaguars to be in order. Just five. The first five that come to mind.
Bortles.
Okay.
A-Rob.
Okay.
Marquise Lee.
Okay.
Would be on the, because I haven't seen Julius Thomas yet. I'm not going to put him in that list. But Telvin Smith.
Okay.
And Cindric Marks.
Cindric Marks, okay. You could have thrown a few others in there, but Telvin's going to make just about everybody's top five, right, of exciting players, the style of play. You see him running around. He's so fast and so quick to the ball and seems to have a knack, a nose for the football, right? Exciting
sure
guy, no question about it. You know, not the best linebacker in the league, but trending in a great direction. Two very solid games to start his second season here, and we expect big things out of Telvin Smith. Yet somehow, someone found a way to make Telvin Smith sound boring. I'll give you one guess on who that might have been. Bill Belichick this morning having his midweek press conference, as every NFL head coach does with the visiting team's media, had this to say when asked about Telvin Smith.
What's your opinion on Telvin Smith?
You know, it's been really productive. I mean, fast. I mean, this guy can run sideline to sideline, makes plays all over the field. You know, nobody's really going to outrun him. You know, along with, you know, Polesny and their nickel defenses, you know, gives them a lot of speed. And got, I mean, they play a lot of zone defense, obviously, but they can break on the ball and close down that space in a hurry. You know, along with Colvin when he's in there as, you know, one of the inside players. So those guys play, you know, they all play good. But Telvin's kind of like a, it's almost like having another DB on the field. You know, they don't play a lot of dime, and when they're in regular, it's almost like they're in nickel because of his speed and athleticism. So it kind of gives them that another guy that's he's not a DB, but he's in a lot of ways, you know, like a DB. He's probably faster than a lot of safeties that play in this league. So he's gives them a lot of range and playmaking ability. You know, Smith's you know, kind of a different player in that group because of his speed and athleticism. You know, he adds a lot to it.
All right, it wasn't, you know, honestly, it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. All right?
I'm sorry, what?
Hey, it got worse as it went on. I thought he started off well, though. I thought, hey, and then he hit Polesny.
Polesny. That linebacker Polesny, he's pretty good.
Paul is way too classy a player to do this. But as he sacks Brady with a sack fumble recovery, Jags clinching victory play, if he were to walk by Belichick on the sideline and say, "What's my name?" I wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, neither would I.
Polesny. When did he add the S and the Z?
I'm sure Puz has never had his name.
No, he's never had that name mangled, I'm sure, by me on occasion.
Well, Mike, don't forget that we had to do a lot of editing on that clip. It was a lot of 10-second gaps, a lot of pauses.
Oh, you did? Okay. There, he did go into pause mode on that one?
Well, we would have put our Jaguars Today listeners to sleep if we would have kept it as is.
Well, and today should be any different than any other day. How? Why? All right. Well, you know, he did say some nice things about him. I saw Belichick say that they spent a lot of time this offseason looking at the Jaguars, more because they never play them. Right? Mm-hmm. They haven't played them very often recently, and it's just the way it goes. The Jags haven't played a defending Super Bowl.
I mean, the signals they have in that room on the Jaguars are like
right.
Well, old.
Right. We kind of wait. It's the old logo. Wait a minute. When do they get a new logo? I don't understand. None of our film shows this.
Advantage Jaguars.
Well, I don't doubt they'll be prepared. It's not like the Jag. You know, everyone's like, not everyone, but some people are saying, oh, you know, classic trap game, look ahead. I don't think Tom Brady and company, I don't think they'll be looking ahead.
A stat for you on that.
Okay.
Right? The last time that the New England Patriots lost a football game to a team that finished with a below 500 record.
Oh, boy.
Was 2012.
Dolphins?
The Arizona Cardinals beat them up there in their building. Early on in the season, like week three of the year, maybe that's a good omen, but that's the last time they lost a football game to a team that finished with a below 500 record, which you can take a couple ways if you're the Jags going in there this weekend. If you lose, it means that you probably still are a team that's going to win six or seven games, right? But if you win, hey, baby, 500's coming.
There you go. Maybe, right, maybe. Or you're the 2012 Arizona Cardinals.
Right. If history's a teacher, then maybe 500's coming.
Which, by the way,
if they can beat the Patriots, they can beat anybody.
No question.
Right. So if they beat the Patriots this weekend, the swagger in this city is going to be out of control.
If they beat the Patriots this weekend, you better expect them to go to the playoffs. I'm not saying that they guaranteed that they will, but that should be the expectation.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, if you can beat them, why can't you beat the Colts? And the Texans and the Titans, they're not scaring me. And
no.
I don't think they're scaring the Jags. I don't think the Jags are scared of the Patriots. It's not like that. But, you know, go shake up the world.
Yeah, go shake up the world. And as I said last night on my show, it's
Fat Tony Show, Tuesdays.
Nobody else in the division has played them yet, right? So odds are the Patriots are going to beat everybody from the South. We've seen what they do to the Indianapolis Colts. They manhandle that team like crazy. Whatever their matchups are with that team, they just abuse the Indianapolis Colts. I don't like Houston or Tennessee to beat this Patriots team. Just like I don't like the Jaguars team to go up there and beat this Patriots team. But odds are everybody in the South is going to lose to the New England Patriots. So they should be able to go up there and play loose, and whatever advantages they have, just try to take advantage of it early in that game.
Yeah, as Hacker said, this laid it out this way yesterday. And yes, I'm quoting Hacker here. That, you know, let's say the Colts do win against Tennessee, which is a fairly likely outcome this weekend, I think, but you never know. But let's say they do. They're 1-2. Tennessee's 1-2. Let's say the Jags lose their 1-2. We don't know what Houston does this weekend, all right?
Even if they win, 1-2.
Even if they win, they play the Bucs. So everyone's 1-2. Go beat the Colts.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you're 2-2.
Yep.
And you've got a game separation at minimum against the Colts. You've got the early tiebreaker, and you're past the Patriots, like you're saying, right? Because they're going to have to play these teams. Everybody in the division plays everybody in the AFC East this year. So, you know, if you can have the advantage a quarter of the way into the season and be past, on paper, the most difficult test that you're going to have, and your other division opponents still have to take that test,
yeah,
that's a nice place to be in
after four
games. A much better place to be in after four games than they've been in any time in recent memory. And that is how you quote a fellow radio host.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing that out there, Tony. If you're going to quote somebody on what they said, it's nice to acknowledge where it came from. So, coming up next, Johnny O is going to stop by. We'll get the latest from the Jaguars.com senior writer. We'll find out what the thoughts are on Rashad Green and see if he's got some thoughts on the punt return position, as well as do the Jags have any advantages, or at least what areas does he think they can exploit a little bit against the Patriots, even if you don't want to go as far as to say the Jags have particular advantages over the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. We'll get to that coming up next, and we'll open it up for your phone calls as well at 641-1010. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. He's very particular about that.
I thought my phone was ringing. That's my ringtone. So,
So, does it play this loudly on your phone as well? How you doing?
Good.
Everything
good.
All right?
Yeah.
Got your intro, so you should be happy.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you were going to come in mid-segment. I said, no, we don't have it ready. Go back to your little area.
I like entrance music.
Yeah, why not? Nothing wrong with a little walk-up
music. Maybe some lights tomorrow?
Sure.
So Halloran Day tomorrow. I can't, yeah.
Well, I mean, shine brightest.
That's
when
right.
Ryan O'Halloran's here. The mood is rosier, cheerier.
That's right.
Yeah. Happy Ryan.
As he likes to call Ken Wisenhunt, Chuckles O'Halloran.
That's funny. Happy birthday, by the way, to Rashad Greene. Not the greatest present. Finding out he had to go under the knife or the thumb. But injured reserve designated to return, which means they think, he's going to be out for a while, but he's going to be able to heal and come back and hopefully contribute for this team down the stretch.
And obviously you don't want the guy on injury reserve. It's good news for the Jaguars that he'll be able to be back. It also speaks to how they feel about him that they take that spot and they choose to bring him back. It shows you that they think that he is going to be an important player on the team. I don't think every draft pick ever would qualify for that. So it shows you that he's doing what they want him to do.
Certainly not every fifth-round draft pick would qualify for that.
Yeah.
So now the question...
I also think for him, this is probably more of a blow for him than it is necessarily the Jaguars' receiving core, so long as the guys who are there now stay healthy. And what I mean by that is you've got Marquise Lee back. So if the top three stay healthy, then it's a pretty good, diverse group. If they can be on the field, if you can supplement them with Brian Walters and you get Julius Thomas back, they're okay on the front line. What this does is it makes you a little nervous about walking that depth. What happens if then all of a sudden your depth, your option is gone?
Good timing. I mean, Marquise Lee coming back, and not only coming back, but getting to play some last week now, you got to figure his snap volume is going to increase significantly.
Boy, you sure hope so, and you sure hope he can handle it, because it's funny, as much as we all talk all off season, all training camp, Marquise Lee, and it's always the tone of, boy, he can give you that dimension, boy, he can give you this. He even showed on Sunday more pop, more... boy, I want to see more of this than he did last year. A couple of those catches across the middle, even the one that got called back, I think he had one that didn't count, that he just showed athleticism and going and getting the ball and a spring in his legs that is exciting. If he can stay healthy and be playing close to his potential, there's something there.
That's a big thing. I mean, he played a ton at Southern Cal. It wasn't like they babied him on a snap count. He was the Biletnikoff Award winner, man. He's the best receiver in college football as a sophomore.
And his short area quickness is unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, the run that he had around that edge, making three guys miss in a space of 5 yards to get an extra 4 or 5 yards on that play, they don't have anybody else that does that.
And it just struck me that it seemed more noticeable. Maybe he's more in control of it this year, and that may be the second year. You've had some experience, you've seen on tape, you know what you want to do, you're seeing the field better as a rookie, as a second year player than a rookie. But to me, it just looked more real with Marquise Lee on Sunday in the glimpse that we saw than maybe it did last year. Maybe it's just me seeing it that way.
What do they do at punt return now? Nick Marshall, is he first man up, or is it Brian Walters?
I'm very interested to hear that this week. There's two schools of thought. Walters has done it a lot, so you trust it. You've seen a little bit of body of work.
And when you see a guy who's shorthanded in the receiving game, you assume he's going to be shorthanded.
Yeah.
At least we do, right? We don't see him every day fielding punts in practice.
And that's the first thing you want. You want to make sure that guy doesn't drop the ball. At the same time, Nick Marshall really hasn't given me any reason to think he's going to drop the ball. And the other day, he showed there's some pop there. He is a special athlete who doesn't yet know how to play corner in the NFL enough that they want him out there as a top three. But there are things he does on the football field that you want to harness and you want to use. And it looked on Sunday like maybe there's a punt returner skill there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they used Walters in a lot of situations. And then maybe when they thought they needed a big pop,
right,
let's put Nick Marshall back and see what he can do. It wouldn't surprise you if over time, Nick Marshall does that.
Well, you know, like if the Patriots are punting from around midfield, right? And
yeah.
And you're going to be making that decision. Do I catch it at the 10, inside the 10? Do I let it go? You want to be shorehanded yeah. down there. Maybe you have Brian Walters.
And I'm purely assuming. Gus may come out today and say, hey, we're going with Nick.
He may.
That's certainly a storyline today.
And he said that he thinks Nick Marshall probably has the best hands of anybody in the secondary.
Sure.
Right?
So.
I think they're confident with Nick Marshall's ability to at least catch the ball on defense. Maybe there is some of that confidence with special teams as well. We talked about Rashad Greene going on, you know, the short-term IR for this team. When can they expect to start getting some of these other guys back? Marquise Lee obviously played a little bit mm-hmm. last weekend. You expect him to play more this weekend. What about the other guys, the big-name guys, and Derek and Julius and those guys?
Yeah, not this week on either of those two guys, I don't think. Certainly not on Julius. Sanderek, I'd be surprised. I think we're looking at a couple of weeks down the road for both of them, but I expect to sort of find out more on Wednesday. I expect Gus to have a little bit more of a direction on those guys when he speaks today.
All right. We're talking today about advantages and disadvantages in this matchup, as we do every week. And clearly, the Patriots have plenty of advantages that you can point mm-hmm. to. Tom Brady's one of the all-time great quarterbacks. They cheat. And they film you. No, I'm kidding.
All right, Jack.
Sort of. Hey, look, is that breaking news? I'm sorry. Anyway, what about the Jags? If there's one area you feel the Jags can really exploit the Patriots, if you feel that way,
sure.
What area would that be?
Well, in order to say that the Jaguars have advantages, you have to assume that what you saw Sunday is what you're going to see. So the wide receiver corps. If Allen Robinson plays the way he played on Sunday, he's a big receiver who can get open, who's tough to deal with. So maybe they have an advantage, or maybe he's a guy that they can use and start relying on 80 to 110 yards worth of balls each week. That would be an advantage against anybody. What you want to see from the Jaguars is not necessarily do they have an edge against this particular team, but do they have things that they can take week to week to week and use no matter the opponent. It looked like throwing the ball up to Allen Robinson, letting him make a play, letting him be him, can start to be those things. So I'd say that at the same time, I think the overall wide receivers is where they might have an edge if they play to where they played on Sunday, because they're going to try to take Allen Robinson away, the Patriots. That's what they do. I think Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee are huge, huge stories this week. If the Patriots play to their MO, which is to take your best thing away, Marquise Lee's speed, Allen Hurns' ability to get open, those guys should have opportunities.
Maybe this is the week they've been saving the tight end for.
Could
as
be.
Well.
And that is a possibility because of what I just said. They absolutely want to take your best thing away. If they think Allen Robinson's the best thing, it'll be tough for Allen Robinson to do very much because they will take it away. But we've seen Marquise Lee. It wouldn't surprise you if you ignore Marquise Lee. It wouldn't surprise you to, for him to have a monster game.
Over the years, you've seen in covering the Colts for a stretch, seen a lot of playoff matchups between.
I've seen
that
the Patriots
team
a little
and
bit.
The Patriots,
over the
right?
Years.
So you've seen them a bunch. In terms of Tom Brady's the same guy,
yeah.
Right? So in terms of covering him, do you come after him because he's very good against the blitz, as most top quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the alternative if? You sit back
there.
Yeah, I
think you've got to come after him creatively. And again, covering the Colts for as long as I did, I saw them every year, a couple times a year sometimes. They're a different team than in the crux of when I covered them, in the sense that they move so fast offensively now. And that is such a part of what they do, which is to speed it up and put stress on you mentally and physically. So that's a big thing for me this week is, how do the Jaguars handle that when things sort of start to feel like they're getting out of hand, which it can do against the Patriots? Even when the game's not out of hand, they start moving the ball quickly and it feels like it's getting away from you. How you handle that adversity, I think, is key on both sides of the ball. But yeah, I think you have to pressure Tom Brady, because just like any quarterback, if he gets pressure up the middle, he can throw the ball to you just as easily as anybody else can.
Well, and most of their deep routes, the stuff that they run downfield, is usually to Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. It's not exclusively to Gronkowski, but it's going to be that route in the seam to Gronk. He throws it short, and he lets his guys go make plays.
Sure.
Whether it be Edelman in the flat, whatever they're doing, usually he's only throwing the ball 4 or 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and then Edelman makes a guy miss, and 5 yards turns into 15.
You got to tackle against
this
team.
No doubt.
tackling Gronk is tough. Newsflash, right? I mean, and he adds that element. Again, you have an elite quarterback. Well, now you've got an elite player who's very tough to defend with that quarterback. Most teams don't have that. It's what makes them special right now. As big is the matchup on the other side of the ball, where Blake's making his 16th NFL start this week, if I'm not mistaken. So that means this is his last game as a rookie, so to speak, right? Well, now he's playing against a guy who makes things as tough and confusing as any coach does against another quarterback. It'll be interesting to see how Blake handles that. There was certainly, you'd be surprised if there's not some mistake early where Belichick fools him. Okay, how do you come back from that? Does the confidence stay high? Do you see what you saw on Sunday from Blake all through, even though it's not, I doubt it's a perfect game from him. How he responds to that against this defense, this mind, fascinating to watch on Sunday.
Overall for the offense, Tony and I were talking about earlier, 5.9 yards. Is it 5.9
5.7?
5.7. 5.7 yards a carry the Patriots have allowed through the first two games. Now, some of that is they played poor run defense. Other times, sometimes when you're ahead big, you give up an occasional 8-yard run. But regardless, still a big number. But I don't think the Jags need to just go run, right? They've got to take
but
some
the Jags
shots.
This year, so far, it's with a two-game window, it's still hard to just draw overriding themes. But they certainly showed the other day they're a team that even if it's not working at times, they're going to stick with it as long as they're in the game. They found a way to get some creative yards. It wasn't all T.J. Yeldon. There were some long runs mixed in. They're going to stick with it. And as I heard you guys say earlier, this is a team that it looks like you can run against. And this may be a game where they can pop one. They can get that going. I certainly think you have to. But how Blake handles it, how they handle the confusion and the mind of the Patriots is going to be the fascinating thing to me.
John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com. What do you have coming up on .com Live and the rest of your
plans?
We're
going live. Every Wednesday is really cool for us. We go live before Blake Bortles speaks. So we get a chance to talk Jags, and then we go right down to hear the quarterback talk. And, that's with Blake, that's sometimes interesting to listen to him talk.
Sometimes it is.
He'll throw out a zinger every now and then. Right?
I hope you've studied. All right. Johnny O on Twitter at John Osier. We appreciate it, bud. We'll talk to you later this week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Oh, I doubt that. There he goes, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. Coming
yeah, I just
up,
said that.
Yeah, I know
much.
You did. On this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. As we move along, we got Bold City Cap joining us in about 25 minutes as well. Get the full rundown of what to expect at all the festivities when the Jags go invade Raymond James Stadium in Week 5 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. This date, 1934. By the way, when did it become fall, Tony, in the last couple days? And I just didn't even notice. All right, the Lions played their first NFL game on September 23rd, 1934. They beat the New York Giants 9-0. Doesn't it seem like a lot of these teams' first games, they beat the Giants?
Am I
imagining that?
No, there's been at least three in the last week that we mentioned beat the Giants.
They played at University of Detroit Stadium before 12,000 rabid fans. The only thing I know about University of Detroit, didn't Dick Vitale coach there one time way back in the day?
If you say so, yeah.
That's what I'll go with. Born on this date in 1943, Marty Schottenheimer, you know him more as a coach than as a player, but he was a Pro Bowl linebacker, at least for a season back in the day. I think for the Buffalo Bills it was, as a matter of fact. Of course, he got fired after going 14-2 one year, Tony. His playoff record, not so stellar. 5 wins, 13 losses for Marty Schottenheimer. So always a regular season star, not so much in the postseason. Other birthdays of note on this date, Tony Mandarich, former Sports Illustrated cover boy and steroid junkie back in the day, was supposed to be the greatest offensive lineman ever, lasted 3 years with the Green Bay Packers, who drafted and was out of football for a few years, tried coming back with the Colts pretty ineffectively. He's 49 years old today. Rashad Green, mentioned him earlier. Happy 23rd birthday to Rashad, and get well soon. Duke Johnson, the rookie for the Cleveland Cleveland Browns turns 22 today out of the University of Miami. Chris Johnson, Tony, turns 30, born on this date in 1985. Three-time Pro Bowler and one-time first-team All-Pro. Of course, he had 2,006 yards in 2009. Here's a you'll sweep the category pop quiz for you.
Whoa.
I need all seven guys that have run for 2,000 yards in a single NFL season.
O.J., Jamal, Adrian Peterson, T.D., you just mentioned
Chris Johnson.
I got two left.
You got two left, including the all-time single-season record holder.
Barry and Dickerson.
I knew you'd sweep the category. There you go. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. In-home, for your business, anywhere you need roofing help, repairs, re-roofs. Call 287-7756, license number CCC0567 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Presenting this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Dallas Cowboys acquired Buffalo Bills backup quarterback Matt Castle yesterday to back up Brandon Weedham while Tony Romo recovers from a broken collarbone the next 2 months. Buffalo also sent their seventh-round draft pick in 2017 to Dallas in exchange for their fifth-round pick in 2017 as part of the deal. Browns head coach Mike Pettine announced yesterday that Josh McCown has been cleared from the concussion protocol and announced that he will start for the Browns on Sunday against Oakland despite Johnny Manziel getting the win against Tennessee. Cam Chancellor is expected to be returning to the Seahawks today after holding out for the first 2 weeks of the season and also throughout the offseason. Here's the text that Chancellor sent to Stephen A. Smith. I'm going to go help my teammates that are understanding of my position and the ones who aren't. God forgives all. Why can't I? Time to help us get back to the big dance.
Translation, I'm going to go get paid.
Right. And a non-football note, and a not-so-happy one. Yankees and baseball legend Yogi Berra passed away last night at the age of 90. Berra played in 14 World Series, was a part of 10 championship teams with the Yankees. He remains the only player to have won 10 World Series in the game's history. He has played in more World Series than all but four teams in baseball history, and that includes, you'll enjoy this, the Boston Red Sox. Yogi has played in 75 World Series games. The Red Sox have played in 74, probably more well-known for his quotes away from the field, also a part of a six-man crew on a Navy rocket boat on D-Day, firing onto the German defenses at Omaha Beach. He was fired back upon, was not hit, later received several commendations for his bravery. If you're even half a baseball fan and Yogi wasn't among your favorite players or personalities in the game's history, then there's probably something wrong with your list of favorite players or personalities.
Yogi's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm definitely a spoiled, biased Yankee fan, no question about it. But top five in the MVP voting, seven consecutive years, Tony, and led all catchers in every major offensive category at the time of his retirement, three-time MVP, and he's also the guy playing left field looking up as Mazeroski shot left the yard.
Yep.
Not happy about that image.
Yeah, and he's been described as kind of baseball's uncle and mascot for the past 25 or 30 years,
crazy,
and that's
uncle.
A very good description for Yogi. He's the best, man.
Lawrence Peter Berra. I used to know all the everybody's middle name back in the day. I used to study all the Hall of Famers. I was a sick lad, Tony. I don't know what John Caputo's middle name is. I don't really care. We just call him Cap around these parts. And he's in the Duval Doom seat right now.
Oh, no.
We requested permission. Doom said, oh, Captain, my captain needs no permission. He can have any seat in the house he wants. You know him as Bold City Cap on Twitter, and you also know him as the head of the Bold City Brigade. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, not welcome to the program, but welcome to the studio for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been many places inside this stadium. First time sitting in both Duval Doom's chair and the studio.
Now, you told us a moment ago you've listened to Joe Fortunato basically your whole life. How disappointing is it to actually meet him in person?
It's nothing short of a great honor, Joe. Nothing short of a great honor.
First one who's ever said that in his entire life, man. You guys have gone out of control with this trip to Tampa. It's all locked up now, right? What'd you end up selling, about 2,000 tickets?
Correct, yeah. It's all locked up. We're going to be shipping everything out Friday, all the different packages that we sold. So we've got a lot of work still left to do kind of behind the scenes on our end. But, yeah, we're now over the 2,000 tickets sold to the game mark, and we have sold over 1,300 tickets to our pregame tailgate. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What's a pregame tailgate entail?
So everyone that bought a pass for that, and there's actually going to be a very, very limited amount day of for people who decide to last minute come down. They want to join us. It'll be $40 day of kind of at the door of the tailgate. But what it gets you is it's all inclusive. So we're talking both breakfast and lunch. Our great partners with Say Cheese Food Truck 927 Events are trucking everything down there. They're handling a lot of the food and everything for us. So that takes, you know, checks one thing off the list for
us.
But so it includes both breakfast and lunch if you get there early enough, if you're feeling squirrely. But it also includes all you can drink: craft beer, soda, water, maybe some other goodies. So it really is an all inclusive access to everything that we'll have going on in there. We'll have a DJ. We'll have it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be fun with all the BCBers down there having a good time. What about in the stadium itself? I know 2,000 tickets about that you guys were able to get. Are they generally grouped in the same area? Or are they in front of the ship?
Yeah, so, you know, we've had to move to a lot of other sections because there aren't 2,000 seats with, you know, kind of in that ship area. But we have filled up both sections 243, 244, and 245. We have at least 95% of each one of those sections, I'd say. So it's going to be insanely teal right there in the camera's view by the ship. We also have some in that end zone. We have a few hundred there. And then from there, we kind of branch out around the stadium. The one thing that we told them, or my contact with the Bucks when we sat down, is like, okay, as we move around the stadium, our only qualification, our only requirement is that we get as many seats together as possible. Because I wanted people to come down, and when they're on this trip, feel like they're, you know, if they're not with the 1,000 that are right by the pirate ship, at least feel like they're with a huge group and they're a part of this thing. Because it's special. You know, it's definitely a special trip.
That's right. Awesome. That's going to be like a college type atmosphere, you know, where they sell that section of seats for the opposing fans. You don't see that in NFL stadiums ever.
No,
you may see thousands of Steelers fans in there, but they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's never, there's the Steelers fans.
Right.
That's going to be a cool look.
Well, when it's like 37-3 Jags midway through the third quarter, and that's all that's left in the stadium, that's really going to look phenomenal, by the way. All right. Tell some tales out of school here. Who is the most likely Bold City Brigade member to go rope and grappling hook and try to climb that ship?
We already have one gentleman. I won't give his full name, but he's known as Video Board Mark because he gets on the video board at least 3 or 4 times every home game. And he's a good friend of ours. He's also happens to be a redhead. He's been growing out a large beard.
Nice.
And so he's got a teal pirate's costume already lined up, and he has basically committed to commandeering that ship and making it ours. So
we look forward to it, man. I mean, you know what?
I don't know what that entails, and I feel like I shouldn't know because you know,
the fewer questions, the better with that.
How many of those $40 per tailgate ticket go towards bail money? The bail fund.
we've discussed that. We've discussed that after several other trips prior to last year in Washington D.C. We somehow got a flagpole with a BCB flag into the stadium.
Nice.
Didn't get very far with it, but we did get it in. So and there's just, you know, when you have that many people and when you know, we ask everybody, and we've been really fortunate on these trips, people have, you know, have presented themselves, you know, properly and appropriately, and we hope that it's like that again this time. Sometimes you can't control how the other team's fans
react
treat
to you.
And so obviously that's a little bit of a concern, but you know, I tell everyone the greatest strength is in our numbers. So, you know,
Stick together.
Yeah,
you'll
stick together
fine.
And you'll be fine.
Right, I'm with you. And look, I am a noted long-distance instigator, Tony. I have no desire. You're never going to see me on the inside of a paddy wagon, all right? I am the most boring guy in the world, but I'll egg somebody else on, that's for sure. We got Bold City Cap here with us. Caravanning all down together to Tampa? What's the...
Yeah, so one of the... You know, there was 4 options as far as packages that we were selling, and one of which was what we call Duval to Duval. So it's leaving from the stadium. You know, we've got some really awesome contacts here with the Jaguars. They're allowing us to utilize a few of the parking lots.
Nice.
Here. So it's going to leave at 6 a.m. from the stadium. Everybody who's bought those packages already knows that they have them. But that is going to take you morning of down to the tailgate directly. You'll go to the game, you'll come back out, get back on the bus, and you'll be back here so you can go to work Monday morning. So that's one way. We have 4 buses full of people doing that, 456 passenger charter buses. Then we also have, then from there, people are kind of going down on their own
in
a lot of ways. So one of the other options was we do have a hotel. We sold out the Hampton Inn & Suites in Ybor City. Like they think they're probably our second biggest fan behind the ticket sales guy at the Bucks. But so we have 5 charter buses full leaving from that hotel on the morning of the game to take people to the tailgate and back. So when we do these trips, we try and make them as easy as possible and as approachable as possible as far as like with costs and everything like that. So yeah, it's This one, though, kind of takes the cake. We've never had this many moving parts, so it's...
Well, I mean, you're right down the road. Yeah. You couldn't miss it. Great opportunity.
Sure.
And
I'm sure you're ready for the game to just kick off so that you don't have to think about it anymore.
you hit the nail on the head. Honestly, when it comes to these trips, and this will be the fourth one we've done, and again, nothing, you know, this everything else pales in comparison to this, but... I really don't get to enjoy it until that moment we are walking into the stadium, because I'm like, okay, no one died at the tailgate. That's good. Everyone's here, and if they're not, it's not my fault.
Right.
And,
it's on them now.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to the stadium, and basically my responsibilities are kind of done there. I just get to go enjoy it and be a fan. So, yeah, I'll be looking forward to that point.
You going to stick around and talk a little Jag football with
us? Sure,
all right.
Yeah.
Bold City Cap, John Caputo, your leader. Bold City Brigaders out there at Bold City Cap on Twitter, in studio, firmly ensconced in the Duval Doom seat of honor right now. We'll come back on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll talk Jags with Cap, get his thoughts on where this team's headed. Can they shock the world with the upset this weekend against the New England Patriots? And is this division for the taking for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2015? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with Bold City Cap here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Florida water, come on.
Duval, Bangum, Westside, Jayville, Duval, Hustle House, Frank Cole, he real. Duval, Bangum, Billy, Rankin, throw your D's in the air if you're from the Bangum.
You know, O'Halloran requests Justin Timberlake. This is what Cap asked for. Right?
Hey, are you saying I'm a little more edgy than Ryan?
I'm saying you're a little more appropriate to the whole theme of what's been going on.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
all
no,
right.
I'm thinking you fit right in. You should see him, though. His eyes do light up and twinkle when JT is on the radio here for us. He gets fired up about it. All right, John Caputo, Bold City Cap, the leader of the Bold City Brigade here with us. And had numerous people on Twitter saying, hey, thanks to Cap for all he does and all the hard work. I'm sure there are others as well that put in a lot of hard work behind the scenes. But people love it, man. It's become a thing. You knew it was really becoming a big thing when Shad Khan recognized you guys, the Teal Street Hooligans, the work that you guys have done to make this Generation Jaguar thing happen.
Yeah, no, it's never easy for me to accept people thanking me, because at the end of the day, everything we do, we get so much out of. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
So it still feels weird, but I genuinely appreciate the fact that so many people, not just citywide, nationwide, but worldwide now, have taken this thing and run with it on their own. You know, have really taken ownership, and we talk about it within the people who. And you're right when you say there's a lot of people who, other than me, that make this thing go, and there really is. But we talk about it all the time. The greatest affirmation of an idea that you may have or a belief that you have is people taking ownership of it and running with it and making it their own. And you know, we're blessed to have experienced that through this group, and it's only getting bigger. I have no clue where it's going to go, but you know, it's we're enjoying it.
Love it, man. It's growing by leaps and bounds, doing good stuff, getting recognized as it well should, and it's nice that it hopefully is going to start to coincide with the team.
Yeah.
Getting to that point where we have something legitimately to be excited about, and you get paid off for all that effort and that emotion you put in as a fan. But just looking back to this last week's performance, how needed was that for the fan base, and how excited were you to see it happen?
I think it was it was definitely needed. You know, the prospect of starting out 0-3, 0-4 again for the third straight year or whatever it was going to be, it really had people down, especially after that first game. And I know you guys I listen every day. I know you guys have talked about it. That game seemed like a winnable game against Carolina, you know, and looking at that, especially after all the momentum that we came off of in the preseason, it was just such a letdown. And so you felt like there was just this air of, oh, here we go again.
Totally.
You know? And at the end of the day, it was refreshing to come out of a game and look at everybody who played well and say, okay, you know, there's some glimpses of what we thought we were going to see, and let's see where we can go from here this season, and if they can build on it.
Yeah, and we talked today a little bit about the going up against the Patriots, because you know, when you say it's a winnable game. In the NFL, they're all winnable, right? It just, to what degree is one more difficult than the other? And clearly, this is, on the paper, the most difficult game on the Jaguars' schedule. Road contest against a highly motivated New England Patriot team, highly motivated by the offseason that they've had. But when you look at how you'd like to see the Jags attack them, I mean, the Patriots have not played great defense this year. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see the game plan be?
You know, I think that I'm not so much – what I'm worried about us on offense is Belichick and what he's known for, right? And I heard you guys on the way in talking about it, just how you can –
You got to walk by from Osher there. Just shook his hand. Unbelievable.
But how he can mix up the fronts and the looks and everything like that. So I'd like to see them come out and first just see if we can impose our will on them a little bit. You know, get the ball, get TJ going, and whoever else ends up being healthy, I guess. But get TJ going and seeing if we can, especially run right. You know, we had signs up in the north end zone last week. Run right, run right.
We got three good guys. Yeah. We think right there, all next to each other.
Run right. Let's go that way. You know, and just see if that's. And if it is, I think everything can build off of that. You know what I mean? They can get some play action going and because we now with the receivers healthy, other than Rashad, you know, I think that so I'd like to see them come out and see if that works. And you know, if it does, then I think we're in the ballgame for sure.
It's a testament to the improving quality of the roster that you can go into the game with five starters already scratched, two more guys who are going to play key roles in it, and have as many guys go in and out of the game due to a variety of injuries on game day and still come away with the victory and still have the defense go out there and get as many three and outs and force as many punts as they did in the second half. I mean, 2 years ago, that game is a 30-point loss, right? Yeah. I mean, they just couldn't do it. What in terms of roster building, what has stood out to you when you say, wow, we've really come, other than, you know, the quarterback's pretty obvious, but, you know, where have they come the farthest, in your opinion?
You know, I've enjoyed watching Dave put together, both kind of front sevens, you know, or the front seven on defense and then the offensive line, you know, the trenches. And I think with a guy like, you look at guys like Linder, and even Bowenko. Bowenko's not starting, but he adds that depth that you talk about, you know, and even Can, I think he's going to end up being a really good player. So when you look around the division at the other teams in our division, maybe other than the Texans who still have some quality on their line, I mean, look at the Colts. I mean, if the Colts had our offensive line, you could arguably say they might be 2-0 at this point.
Right.
So I think that's been, and it had to start there, frankly. You know, you say Blake, and obviously everything kind of revolves around him, but if he didn't go out and get a guy like Parnell, which there was a lot of questions about Parnell. I mean, at this point, he looks as advertised, if not better. So I've enjoyed that part of it, seeing him go out and do what, you know, what Gene Smith didn't necessarily do before him and what some other GMs around the league seem to be struggling with. It's tough to find offensive linemen right now. And you know, I mean, again, look at Indy. Look at what Gregson's doing up there. He really hasn't. And so Dave was able to identify Linder. I remember we were at the draft when we drafted Linder. We were there, and I said, who?
Right.
You know, but, I mean, he comes in, and you know, he's having a tremendous couple of years here. So I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed watching them find guys who fit Gus's system as well on defense. You know, I've, from a roster-building standpoint, I've thought that's been really cool to watch. When you look at guys like Senderic, who maybe was miscast somewhere else, he comes in, plays well, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I would say definitely kind of the front seven on defense and then the offensive line.
Being a fan is obviously a very emotional thing. You know, you ride it up, you ride it down, and it's just the way it is. I'm the same way, you know, and we want them to succeed. And we were as disappointed as anybody coming out of week one. And then all of a sudden you win and you see what it can look like, mm-hmm. and you see the rest of the division kind of scuffling along. I mean, have you – I've allowed myself to dream of the scenarios. I'm not saying it's the most likely scenario.
I hear
scenario.
That creak of a door opening.
Right. There's a little swing of the door. I'm looking – I mean, Houston's already switched quarterbacks once this year. They're probably going to do it again at some point, right? Tennessee got off to a great start against Tampa, then came back down to earth last week, and we've talked about, you know, the Colts struggling. And I felt like I looked at it the wrong way the whole time. You figure the Colts are going to check out on the division, win 11 or 12 games, because that's what they've done every year under Andrew Luck. And then you got to fight 12 teams for two spots. Yeah, you got to fight three other teams for one spot. I think that's the way to look at it, don't you?
Absolutely, especially in today's, you know, NFL, where there are, you know, quite a few quality teams throughout the AFC. and like you said, it's probably easier to fight for this right now, especially the way the chips have landed so far to fight for it. I think, you know, from a fan base perspective and, you know, a Jaguars Twitter perspective, we've enjoyed it, you know, being able to just kind of jokingly say that we're in first place right now, you know, the first place Jaguars. I sent a tweet out.
No joke about it, baby. Go check the standings.
I sent a tweet out on Monday that actually said, you know, the Colts have to win tonight to keep up with the first place Jaguars. And, you know, it was true. And in a lot of ways, it's silly, but at the same time, it's exhaling a little bit and saying, hey, that door is open. Hopefully we can walk through it. Absolutely.
I mean, enjoy it along the way. Don't make it all about what's going to happen in week 16 if we get eliminated. Well, fine. But yeah, up until then, ride the wave that you haven't had the opportunity to do because of the slow starts in the last few years.
Right, yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. We haven't had this opportunity. So I think you're seeing people kind of rejoice and you know, say, okay, hey, this is what this was used to be like, and this is what it can be like again. And that's a powerful thing. And I mean, I think as a fan base, we know what it's like, you know, in the late 90s there when that ball can kind of get rolling and just keep going. So you never know what's going to happen. Even 2007, I remember, nobody really thought we were going to come out and have that kind of year, and we did. And then it just every week you kept saying, oh, I think we're going to win this week.
Right.
I think we're going to win this week. So, you know, the pieces are starting to be in place. Hopefully we can get some guys back healthy and you know, continue to have fun again. You know, I don't want people to keep coming up to us at the end of the season and say, you know what, that was the worst season on the field I've ever experienced as a fan, but we've had so much fun being a part of this group and being a part of all these things. Why can't we have both?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so,
going to be more fun doing that. All the other stuff.
Absolutely.
Is going to come along with it. Speaking of which, I'm sure there are people out there like Bolt City Brigade. You know what? I'm a Jag fan, but I don't know if that's for me, man. It's a bunch of bearded craft beer drinking crazy people, all right? And make the pitch, I mean, to the typical Jaguar fan out there, why, you know, what kind of spectrum do you run in terms of membership?
We run the gamut, really. And I think when you hear a lot about us, it's kind of that Generation Jaguar moniker, right, that Wayne coined and many people have spoken about since then. But in all truthfulness, that's how the group started. It was to attract those people. It was to harness kind of that power and that energy that existed there. But a really awesome thing happened along the way. We figured out that this idea that we came up with, this communal aspect of being a fan and this organizing fans and empowering fans, was attractive to all generations and to many different backgrounds. So we really, really do. When I say we run the gamut, we do. And we have members in, you know, well into their 60s. And, you know, we're developing now kind of a program to start, you know, engaging with a lot more of the younger, you know, the youth, you know, age, you know, 9 to 16, because that's the next step.
Indoctrinate them.
Yeah, well, in some ways, but, you know, we laugh about it, and there's been so much talk for the past decade about Generation Jaguar and this generation of fans coming of age and that being really the key to the long-term viability and success of this franchise. In my opinion, we've kind of ignored some of those kids who have grown up during this period now who have never seen the Jaguars be good.
Right.
And that's just as dangerous as anything else. So, hey, if to borrow your term, if we can indoctrinate them into what it means, you know, as people who remember the good times and have powered through the bad times, hopefully, if we can indoctrinate them into what it means to be Duval and to be a member of this and what all those things mean, that's a powerful thing. And hopefully we'll leave the next generation even more empowered. You know, that's the goal. As far as who's welcome, anyone's welcome. I know that some of the things we do, you know, from, you know, tailgating and the aggressive atmosphere that can be out there isn't for everyone, but we have a lot of members that, you know, that don't participate in that. You know, at the end of the day, it really is just it's a state of mind. It's about wanting to be a part of something that's bigger than you, and you know, that goes for me as well. I mean, everything we do is way bigger than anyone or a couple of individuals. So you know, we our doors are wide open. We understand what we like to say is we're open to anyone. We realize that we might not be for everyone.
Gotcha. But you're welcome.
Yeah.
And you're inclusive and all that good stuff. And BoldCityBrigade.com would be the easiest place for people to get more information, I would
Absolutely.
Assume.
Everything's there, including information about the Tampa trip. You know, if you want to make the last-minute trip down there and try and join us.
Be a part of the tailgate.
Absolutely. The more, the merrier.
Yes. As we mentioned to you on the last break, some people texting in, can I still get on the bus? No.
No.
Right.
No.
You can jump on the roof if you're agile enough.
Right. What kind of reaction do you guys get on all these trips, though? I mean, from other fans around the league, you've done the tailgates at these different spots already. You go up to the draft. What kind of reaction do you get from fans around the league?
To me, that's been the most personally satisfying thing is to be able to have this means or this avenue to kind of fight that narrative, right? You know, that the Jaguars don't have fans. And the best way to fight that isn't necessarily everyone ganging up on Jason LaCanfora on Twitter, you know, which it can be effective in some regards, but the best way to fight that is to prove to people. And you prove to people generally through your actions. And so when you have the largest group to ever go to the NFL draft, organized fan group, when you have that, that's powerful. When you have 100 people walking through the door and I tell the lady, we need 100 seats together, and she looks at me like I'm crazy, and then when she sees it's all Jaguars fans, she looks at me like I have three heads. You know, those are the kind of reactions that are lasting, and that's if there's going to be anything that's the legacy of this group, I think that's going to be it, is trips like this, and it's always, the reaction is always the same, Tony. It's always, the Jaguars have fans, and they have a lot of fans,
right,
apparently, and they're passionate,
right,
and they're outspoken.
Speaking of one, we got one on the line. Let's take a quick call here. Rick is on hold. You may know who this is. You may not. But Rick says he has a good story about the Bold City Brigade trip to Nashville.
Okay. All right, Rick. Well,
keep it clean, Rick. What do you got?
No, this. I went up there with my wife and some other friends, and we just happened to be down on Broadway and Second Saturday night before the game. Ran into you guys, you know, we were wearing our Jaguar stuff, and you guys kind of took us in, and we all kind of went from place to place kind of together, a handful of us. And the story I wanted to tell was how welcomed you made us. You told us where you were setting up the next day, where to come park. You wouldn't take any money from us. You fed us, you gave us the beers, and we had just a wonderful time over there at the Ramada parking lot. And I've been a big fan of you guys ever since, and always drop in and say hi on the home games. But for somebody who's been there and done it with you guys, I just wanted to say thanks, and it's how much fun it is.
Ah, thank you, Rick. That's nice.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Rick. And I think most people who have gotten to know the group would like to believe that that's what we're all about. That wasn't the outlier, so to speak. So, and really, that's. That's what it's all about. It's about bringing people together and kind of underneath this umbrella. You know, we've been much maligned as a fan base and a lot of times unfairly. But if we stick together, you know, there's brighter days ahead.
Great work on everything, really, with the Bold City Brigade, but particularly impressive with this Tampa takeover trip that's going on, the Duval invasion of Tampa that's coming up. And follow Cap on Twitter. You probably already do if you're listening to us, at Bold City Cap, and head to boldcitybrigade.com if you're not a member, and just find out more. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not. As he said, you're welcome. May not be for you, but they'll take in stragglers off the streets of Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, apparently we're welcome, bad. And now we got the T-shirts.
I got a T-shirt.
I'm saying. I walked in. I said, "You guys are all I hear about from our buddies across the pond is." And you know, Donna was telling me the other day when I saw her that she feels like she sent 100 Jaguars Today
yes.
shirts over there, or 1,000, however many it's been. So I figured I'll bring you guys some shirts.
Well, you know what? You're owed a delivery of your own then, of our Jaguars, our finest Jaguars Today threads.
There we go.
Your
I'll
way,
take it,
man. Appreciate it, and we'll see you over there in London, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be there this year, but
oh, no.
I'm hoping that I see you guys in Tampa. I don't know. Maybe we can pull some strings so we can make it
talk
happen.
To Mr. Fortunato.
We're buds now. We're really close.
I know. I've already started working that angle, and I've gotten, you know, just kind of like lukewarm feedback on that, but I want to be in the midst of 1,200 screaming crazy people as we do the pregame
show. It would be unique, that's for sure.
It would be fantastic. Cap, good to see you, man.
You as well. Hey, I want to say thank you to you guys for everything, and especially Tyler. I know he's listening back in the studio. You guys have been so awesome with your help in promoting this, and we wouldn't be able to do it without, you know, awesome people like
all
you.
All Tyler's
so thank you.
Idea. He makes us do it, or else...
He just turns the mics off.
Good, seriously, I know there are a lot of people out there that express the sentiment to you already, but you do great work, and they appreciate it, and we do as well. And keep it going.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. Cap, Bold City Cap, John Caputo, the leader of the Bold City Brigade, and nice enough to stop in and bring us some threads, Tony. I like free stuff. That's
Me too.
Always nice. I hope they get to go to down to that tailgate. I don't know if I'm going to count my chickens on that one yet, but pretty impressive showing by Jaguar Nation as they get ready to head down to Tampa in a few weeks. All right, coming up next, we've got our injury report. Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute stops by, and we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you, what advantage, if any, do you think the Jags have over the Patriots, and what's the biggest disadvantage as they take on Tom Brady and the crew this weekend? It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Let's do it. Sitting down at the Metro Diner Chat Counter, Dr. Stephen Lucy here with us once again, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Good to be back.
Nice to see you. He was rubbing shoulders and elbows with the Bold City Cap. Cap's just making friends with everybody now in the building, Tony. He may not leave, as far as I go. Bold City Brigade headquarters now located at Everbank. Doc, we've seen a lot of cramping going on, a lot of heat-related issues, it seems like, with a number of the Jaguar players. Tell us, you know, people say, oh, this training staff must not be doing the right things. They're not drinking enough water. They're doing this. I mean, you can prepare for the heat, but sometimes, is there nothing you can do, I guess, in certain circumstances? It's just going to get you if it's going to get you.
Well, you know, it's going to get you at times. It's hot in Florida. I mean, it was hot Sunday. And, you know, over the country, there are three or four people die every year in football preseason camps from heat disease. So there's three stages of heat disease. The first one is cramping. The second one is heat exhaustion, where you're starting to not remember plays and fall out. And then, you know, the one that actually kills is heat stroke, where your body temperature gets up to 107, 108. So what we're seeing here is the early stages where they start cramping, and you're absolutely right. How can you prevent that? Well, you want to prehydrate. You want to drink while you're there. But these guys are very big, very muscular, not a lot of body weight, and sometimes you just cannot let them drink through the cramps. And then they get severe cramps, total body cramps. You know, the guys are prepared. They take them into the locker room, and they're prepared to give them IVs. And you can, you know, get in a couple of IVs pushing hard with 8 to 9 minutes off the clock. But usually they're not cramping in the first half. They're usually cramping when you're tight on time, and it's hard to get them better. But yeah, we did see a lot of that, but that's going to happen when you're playing football. The field temperature has probably got to have been over 95.
What about people in the stands? I mean, they're not the same type of physiques as those guys down on the field, but is that a danger when you come out? What should the typical fan do to prepare themselves for an afternoon, especially if you're sitting on the east side and that sun's going to be baking you all day? What should you do to prepare yourself for those 3 or 4 hours?
Well, at least drink a bottle of water between beers anyway.
Mix in the occasional ice cold H2O, you're saying?
Absolutely. And it is hot. And, you know, we don't get the cramps in the fans, but, you know, we can see these fans falling out with heat exhaustion. And so, you know, that they're not in as good a shape. So they're a little more tendency to get delirious and fall out walking up the steps to the concession stand. So we do see it in everybody. And the key is just pre-drinking before the event and drinking through the event, even when you're not thirsty.
All right. Elsewhere, Rashad Greene having surgery, ligament surgery for his thumb?
Right. You know, the base ligament of your thumb is sort of like your knee. It doesn't have cruciates, but it does have collateral ligaments. And so the typical injury of this is the ski pole injury, where your thumb gets brought out to the side and it tears that ligament in between your index finger and your thumb, and that's where you pinch, you know, holding things, catching balls. And I think we saw Rashid drop a few balls. He might have injured this thing in the first half and then was having trouble catching in the second part. So that's why, you know, when they're unstable, you know, you can try to put them in a cast for a while, but it's just about the same length of time tacking it back down, putting in a splinter cast for a while, and then they end up with a good thumb and they can go back and perform at the level they were before.
Once it's healed, it's fine, right? I mean, I'm asking you, it's just nothing, no, any more susceptible, I guess, to re-injury.
But that's why you do the surgery,
okay.
Because if you don't do the surgery and it's unstable, it is much more prone to re-injury, and it's much more prone to not being able to catch passes and grab balls. So that's why you sometimes you have to take a step back to take two forward.
All right. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers for your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, let's come in next week and talk about the fact that there were no injuries this week. How about that? That would be fantastic.
That plus a win, we would be in business.
You know, I might take an injury for a win, but only to me, just me. Pre-game injury to the guy with the big mouth. All right, Doc, good to see you.
All right, thanks.
There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Tony, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, we asked folks, what's the biggest advantage and disadvantage that they see for the Jags in the matchup with the New England Patriots, and we got what?
From Paolo, advantage, looks like our D is actually able to cover tight ends this year. Disadvantage, their tight end is Gronk. From Irish Jaguar, advantage, our D-line versus their O-line. Disadvantage, Tom Brady. From Chef Jags, advantage, mindset coming from a win. Disadvantage, the Patriots. Hashtag, let's shock the world. From Duval Doom, advantage, trap game for New England. Disadvantage, all the advanced scouting the Patriots have surely done. Hashtag cheaters. From Blake Bortles, facts, advantage. Blake Bortles has never lost to the Patriots and is undefeated at Gillette Stadium. That is technically true. From Joey, disadvantage, Gronk, what planet is he from? Advantage, Jags have nothing to lose, play free. From Eric, nothing to lose, minimal pressure, his biggest advantage as nobody expects them to win. Hashtag shock the world. From David, disadvantage, Gronk, advantage, pass rush. Our first 2 weeks we dealt with dangerous scramblers. Brady is a statue. And from JP, advantage Yeldon, disadvantage Blake's communication without working headsets.
It's funny, all that. Brady may be a statue in the sense that he's not one of these run-around guys.
He's a statue who throws it in 2 seconds.
He's a statue who throws it in 2 seconds and has, as most of the great quarterbacks do, great ability to shift around in the pocket. Now, like any quarterback, Tony, you start getting at their feet, you can bother these guys. You get them off their game. We've all seen it. When you hit quarterbacks that are not used to getting hit, the question is, can the Jags do that effectively and continuously or enough to throw Tom Brady off the game? Find out. Maybe not, you know, constantly, just at key moments is all it will take, hopefully, for the Jags. Let's see, a few here on Facebook. Corey said, we're Jaguars. We've been kicked when we're down, overlooked, and criticized over and over. Last week, it looked like we started using that to fuel the fire. We're embracing adversity. That's our biggest advantage. Plus, our balls are inflated, which is nice as well. Now there's quite the Twitter battle to see who will be the first one to throw the grappling hook and climb the rope and breach the defenses of the pirate ship. So I will be looking closely at this category coming up this weekend. And many more thanks from many Bold City Brigade members for everything that John Caputo, Cap, as you lovingly refer to your leader of the Bold City Brigade, does for the organization. And this last one here on the text line, Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, lifelong Seahawk fan, born and raised, now live in Jacksonville, love what the Bold City Brigade does, intelligent fandom, respect. There you have it. That's what we'll close on today. Thanks to Cap for popping in today. Thanks for John Osier for stopping by with his Oh No's perspective, and Dr. Stephen Lucy from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute with your weekly injury report. Happy O'Halloran coming in tomorrow as we continue to march towards week 3 of the NFL season kicking off. Thanks to Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, business, industrial, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has a solution with same-day service, weekends included. They've got the right people with the right equipment. That's why they've been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area so well since 1978. Visit them at MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. For Fat Tony, for all of our guests, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.